There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
It is Kickers. That's where we're broadcasting from, not just for today, but throughout the summer as well. The Grill has a brand new home. All the details remain the same. Otherwise, at Dubai Eye Sport, at Dubai Eye 1038 FM, hashtag The Grill, get involved. Who have I got with me here today? Monty's still on board. All good, Monty?
Yes, all good, Tom.
What's happening in the cricket at the moment?
Australia are at 324 for 7. We thought it would be a 350 scoreline, but they've lost a number of wickets in the last 5 or 6 overs, but anyhow, it's going to be a competitive score for Sri Lanka to chase.
They can't get the big show on strike at the moment. They're trying desperately to get him on strike. Keep getting run out every time they try and get Glenn Maxwell down the other end. Anyway, at least there's a bit of action down in the Oval at the moment. Is that the same case over in the Welsh capital, Cardiff? Mark Archer.
Well, they did start down in Cardiff, but it's now off for rain, which is a familiar story in the World Cup so far. It's Afghanistan, who are yet to register a point in the World Cup, taking on South Africa, who have 1 point after 4 matches. So it's a bottom of the table tussle here in Cardiff. I can tell you that Afghanistan have been put into bat by South Africa. They're 33 without loss after 5.5 of their 50 overs when the rain has come down and the match has been delayed. So we'll bring you back up to date. South Africa now really need to win all their matches on the way in. They need probably 5 wins of their remaining matches
to have
a chance.
Well, they're
done and dusted. We're talking about it earlier. So the rain does come in, but every team's affected in different ways about who they're playing. This is probably what you'd say. South Africa look at this game and say, this is a win game for us. We get 2 points in the bag. So for them to only get affected result or get 1 point is a terrible result for them. So nothing's really gone the way of the South Africans in this World Cup, and it's raining in Cardiff now, so they're really struggling there. So Afghanistan, 33 without loss after 5.5 the overs. I'll keep you bang up to date with get back on the field soon, shortly.
We want to give you an opportunity to go and sit in the rain over in Manchester on July the 6th, a couple of days after Independence Day, is that right?
2 days after.
July 4th.
Yeah.
Roscoe will be in party mood. So if you're looking for a partner in crime, he's more than happy to oblige. But basically, we're giving you 2 tickets. 2 tickets to the cricket, Australia against South Africa. 2 tickets for flights out to Manchester. 2 accommodations over there, so 2 of everything, and all you have to do is to get into the draw for the opportunity to win. Nick has got 1 foot closer already. He was the winner on Offscript last week. There will be another winner on Offscript throughout the week, so make sure you listen in to Robbie Greenfield, Chris McCarty, and the rest of the team from 7 until 8, or so, just tune in from 5 until 8 weekdays. But today, in the next 50 minutes or so, we are drawing one name that will go head-to-head with those other 2 names as the threesome come together down here at Kickers next Saturday. So, if you would like to take one step closer to winning that all-expenses trip paid trip to the ICC Cricket World Cup to watch Australia against South Africa with accommodation, with flights, and everything courtesy of Dubai Eye 103.8, courtesy of The Grill, courtesy of Offscript, and courtesy of Kickers, all you have to do is identify this former Cricket World Cup winner.
Well, this is what I've been telling Alan, that I want my team to play today like a cornered tiger, you know, when it's at its most dangerous.
Need the name of that individual, text it please to 4001 along with your name, and one of those correct names will be drawn out of the hat at the end of today's show, so in the next 50 minutes, and then you will be just a couple of minutes away, a couple of moments away from that trip off to the UK. Ross Christ has been with us here today. We've been talking NBA, we've been talking Stanley Cup. They've obviously come to a conclusion now. So what's going to keep you interested for the next couple of weeks?
Well, it's going to be baseball, isn't it? It's the weird time in America where we just have one sport being played, one of the big sports being played, that is. So it is going to be baseball, and it's going to be fun summer months here. I'll get back there and hopefully get to see my friends at some of my games. My best friend right now is down in South Beach watching the Pittsburgh Pirates take on the Marlins for his bachelor party and taking in all the festivities afterwards. So there's still some sport to watch, Tommy.
What could possibly go wrong, eh? What could possibly go wrong? We've got Ross Chris with us. We've also got Mr. Mark Archer with us. He's been keeping an eye on all things rugby union. We're getting carried away with the cricket because there's all sorts going on in the cricket at the moment, lest we forget the rugby. And you can watch your rugby down here at Kickers week on, week off. A couple of big stories. Let's start with the French final, because that's coming up a little later on this evening. 10:45, is that
10,
right?
10:45 UAE time, yes. The top 14 final. They've gone through the sort of the regular season. They've also had the last few weeks have been in playoffs. And it's the top 2 teams going head-to-head. Toulouse, a bit of a revival for them, and they're taking on Well, perennial sort of finalist Clermont Auvergne. They've had a good run for recent years. So Toulouse taking on Clermont Auvergne. Plenty of big name internationals in both those teams, and French internationals, of course. And that should be a cracking match. 10:45 p.m. UAE time, Tom.
We've had cricket. We've plenty of cricket. We've also had rugby already today. So paint a picture for me of where we're at with Super Rugby.
So it's the final round before the playoffs get underway next weekend in Super Rugby. There were two matches today. First one was in Wellington, where the Hurricanes defeated the Blues 29-24. Recently completed match was in Canberra, where the Brumbies defeated the Reds. That was all Australian derby, 40-27. Two matches this afternoon, both down in the Republic of South Africa. Firstly, just kicking off now, actually, in Cape Town, the Storm is taking on the Sharks. And then the late match is in Pretoria, 7:15 UE time, where the Bulls take on their rivals from down the road, the Lions from Johannesburg. So that's the match there. But just putting you in the picture with who's going to be sort of leading their ways into the playoffs. Well, firstly, let's start in New Zealand, because the 9-time champions, the Crusaders, they've won the New Zealand Conference already. They had a bye weekend this weekend. They've got the best record in Super Rugby, so they're going to have home advantage all the way through the playoffs should they proceed. The final will again be in Christchurch, where they haven't been beaten in a decade almost. And so they are going to be strong favourites now going to playoffs. Home advantage there. And obviously packed, you know, laden packed with All Black talent as well. So they'll be the favourites going to the playoffs. It'll be a big surprise if anyone can go down to Christchurch and probably upset them with that run there. I can tell you the Brumbies are the Australian Conference champions, so they're going to have a home playoff match, the quarterfinal. And then, Tom, let me just ask this one. Who do you think is the South African Conference winner? Which team has won the South African Conference?
I would go with the Lions.
Close. It's the Jaguaris from Argentina.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They've won the South African Conference. So the South African Conference has been won by the Argentinian side. And they're also second overall. So amazing progress for them in Super Rugby. And so it's going to be a really tough match for anyone to go to Buenos Aires for a one-off quarterfinal. So you expect them to proceed quite a long way through the tournament. So they'll have a home quarterfinal, a home semi-final, and maybe they will be the ones, if they get through that, to travel to Christchurch to take on that. A lot of criticism in the Australian ranks have said, well, these Jaguares are the Argentinian national team, aren't they? The Aussies are going, it's not fair. Well, each to their own. They've got one team and they can pick whoever they like. So that's the way it's shaping up in Super Rugby.
Same could be said about the Sunwolves, though, couldn't it? I mean, a lot of that team will be
Japanese national team,
aren't
yeah,
they?
Exactly. I think just the Aussies, it's just a case of sour grapes. Their rugby hasn't been going so well recently. Obviously, problems off the field. Israel Folau saga drags on, and their Super Rugby teams have sort of underperformed a bit. So that's where we're at. Big news in the Northern Hemisphere this week, though. The British and Irish Lions have a new coach. Well, not a new coach, same coach. A Kiwi, Warren Gatland, yeah, he's going to be there for South Africa. And he said he's definitely saying a no to the English job. Obviously, Warren Gatland, very successful decade with Wales, a couple of very successful tours with the Lions. He's looking for a job post-Rugby World Cup. He said, well, I'll do the Lions and then I'll maybe go back to New Zealand and see if I can get a job there in Super Rugby and maybe look at the All Blacks in the future. But Warren Gatland this week was confirmed as the Lions coach. This is what he had to say about a third Lions tour for the man from Waikato.
When I thought about it and thought about the Lions and what it meant to me personally, you know, it was definitely a difficult, it would have been, you know, hard to say no. It would be something I would have, I think, regretted for the rest of my life, to lead three Lions tours, to, you know, try and go undefeated as a head coach in the Test Series. You know, I couldn't walk away from that. There's no doubt in my mind you can almost visibly see the impact of players putting the jersey on and what it means to them, and that's huge. I can promise you 100% I will not be coaching England. The plan is to go back to New Zealand, and I'd love to be involved in Super Rugby and to challenge myself at that. And no, I don't see myself at the moment being involved with England. You know, my understanding, I think Eddie's going to re-sign us for a bit longer. So my focus is going to be 2019, the World Cup. Look at a few things in between. What am I going to do in between 2019 and the start of my role in August 2020? And then focus 100% on the Lions for that 12 months. And then hopefully have an opportunity to go back to New Zealand and pick up something and then take it from there.
Yeah, just pick up something. I'm sure there'll be a milk round or something like that. So that's Gatz confirmed, and he's right as well, because Eddie Jones and John Mitchell will remain in charge until 2021.
Well, they're contracted to 2021. Let's see how England do in the Rugby World Cup. If they have a shocker again, well, maybe they might be contracted, but they might be looking for new coaching staff. But the difficulty with the Northern Hemisphere, and you look at all the national teams, how many foreign coaches there are. Where are the young British and Irish coaches coming from? You must be one as a proud Englishman. Surely you want an Englishman, proud Englishman.
What?
Scott, Welsh, whatever you want to be. British and Irish Lion.
I might sound like a proud Englishman, and I am proud when they're going well, but deep down deep, it's Scottish.
And that's the thing, you know, I have the argument that the British and Irish Lions should have a British and Irish Lions coach. It would make sense, but rather than the Kiwi for the last 12 years. But that's my opinion.
It's an international game now, Arch.
It is an international game, but grow your own coaches. So let's wait and see. Yeah, so I mean,
Rodenagara's coaching down in New Zealand at
the moment. Yeah, but he's leaving the Crusaders. He's going to coach La Rochelle in France as of next season. Okay. So he's committed to that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, Eddie Jones, John Mitchell.
Funny though, because you mentioned that's another story that's doing the rounds. Stephen Larkham, who's just signed for Munster, so he's going up there till 2022.
Yeah, he's been discarded. He's a casualty of the failure of the Wallabies, and he's been made a bit of a scapegoat there. Michael Checker keeps his job, and Stephen Larkham has to go and coach in Ireland. So, yeah, I get it. There's a lot of Southern Hemisphere coaches, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere, at international level. But it'd be nice to see some progressive English, Welsh, Scottish, or there is now one in Scotland, Gregor Townsend, coming through and being the national coaches. I'm sure that's what they're trying to do. And I'm sure the English RFU would love to see an English coach be sort of trained up, moved into that role at the right time. And it's just probably not enough guys there doing the job at the Premiership.
Just want to get your thoughts on another story that's doing the rounds at the moment. Obviously quite a sensitive story in many ways. We know that Izzy Folau will not be playing for the Wallabies at the World Cup. In fact, he'll not be playing for the Wallabies ever again by the looks of things as well, with his contract having been ripped up by the Australian Rugby Football Union. However, that hasn't stopped other rugby football unions going, "Oh, is he? Well, if you are available, then do you fancy coming to play for us?" Tonga, latest to throw their hat into the ring.
Yeah, Israel Folau, obviously a well-documented case that his contract's been terminated for breach of social media and the things he...
Etiquette, is that what you can call it?
Etiquette, the things he's gone out and, posted or reposted and highly controversial comments deemed defamatory to many parts of the community in Australia and around the world, and people have spoken up, but he had the chance to retract what he posted and he refused to do so. So his multi-million dollar contract's been terminated. He's now embattled in a legal battle. He's trying to claim $10 million from this ARU, which isn't a great situation for the ARU to be in, with their best player, their most high-profile player, now being sacked from the team. So Tonga, obviously Israel Folau's got some Tongan heritage there. Tonga have put their hands up, said, "Well, Israel, if you don't play in the next World Cup, we'll have you the one after, in 4 years' time," and his brother as well, who's part of the Waratahs squad. "So we'll take you, Israel, don't worry, we'll set you up for Tonga." So maybe that's the route he'll go down. It's tough with him. Maybe he'll move back to another code. He's played multiple codes in Australia. Rugby League, the NRL, said they won't have him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up there, or he's probably going to be somewhere. He might go end up getting a game in France.
We're going to talk more about that one and, of course, reflect on other big sports stories in just a few moments' time. In fact, we'll turn our attention to... It's crazy. How come we've done 2.5 hours of the show? We haven't mentioned football yet. You know, days were that all we talk about is football. But that gives you an idea of the sort of change of focus during the summer months. We'll turn our attention to football next.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Kickers Sports Bar, where the game is always on.
Yeah, loving it down here at the moment. My first time down here broadcasting from Kickers. Spent a few hours in here at other times of the day. Loving the atmosphere, loving the vibe, some great deals available, and good news that we're going to be broadcasting each and every Saturday between the hours of 3 and 6 throughout the summer down here. So do come and join us and be part of it. Great deals, as I mentioned, food and beverage-wise. You get great access to the Cricket World Cup. The leading body of, well, the organising body of the Cricket World Cup is just around the corner, so you couldn't really be better suited, and sport on either side as well. Lots to chat about, and on top of all that, the opportunity to win. We're sending one lucky listener to the Cricket World Cup. This is courtesy of Dubai I-103.8 FM, of the grill, of Offscript, and of all the team down here at Kickers. What do you get? Two flights to Manchester, accommodation in Manchester, two tickets to Old Trafford to see Australia against South Africa on the 6th of July. What do you need to do? First up, need to be free on the 6th of July. Second up, you must have a valid visa to travel to the United Kingdom for July the 6th. And third and foremost, you must get this one right. We are going to play you a short clip of a former Cricket World Cup winner. Identify that individual. Text the name to 4001 along with your name, and you could well be one step closer to that trip to Manchester.
Well, this is what I've been telling Alan, that I want my team to play today like a cornered tiger, you know, when it's at its most dangerous.
Text your answer, please, to 4001 along with your name. And as I said, you could be a winner. So let's turn our attention to the world of football. There is live football as we speak at the moment. The Netherlands taking on Cameroon 18 minutes into this Group E game in the Women's World Cup. No goals in this one. Little game later on, Canada taking on New Zealand. That one getting underway at 11 o'clock this evening. That's not the only big tournament ongoing at the moment. We've also got the Copa. It's underway.
Well, Brazil, even without Neymar, still your tournament favorites. Basically, what? Even money. Argentina, second favorite there. You do the math, it's just under 4-1. Then a drop to Uruguay, Colombia, and Chile, and then a bigger drop to everybody else in the field. Now, Shaka, we know you have picked the field over Brazil and Argentina, so I'll start with Ale. Ale, who you got winning this thing and why?
Look, against all odds, I'm going to take Argentina. Now, frankly, you look at this tournament, this is as wide open as we've had in Copa America in many years. You can make an argument for Brazil. You can make an argument against Brazil. You can do the same thing for Argentina and really down the line. Chile has been great in these competitions in years past, but I think this is a team that is getting older, and no better example of a team getting older than Alexis Sanchez. And you just kind of go on and on and on, and you'll find yourself in a situation where, look, it is open for somebody who can just string together a few good games where you defend well and allow your super player, your star, the guy, the one that people want to see win one of these tournaments, Lionel Messi. So if Argentina, and I know this is difficult to say because, look,
History doesn't support it.
No, it doesn't support it. And the evidence that we have seen from Argentina lately wouldn't suggest that they're going to defend well. But if they organize themselves just in a manner in which they're at the very least practical in their defending, pragmatic in their defending, they keep it at zero long enough, Lionel Messi is good enough to carry this team forward. I'm going to take Argentina because it would be ideal for Argentina to do this in Brazilian soil. They were close in the World Cup in 2014. I think they closed the deal here in Copa America.
So Argentina last won it in 1993. Brazil last won it in 2007. You've gone outside the box. You've said you believe the field. Is that because you think the field is strong, or you think particularly Brazil and Argentina are weak?
Well, a bit of both. I think Brazil and Argentina will again find some way to shoot themselves in the foot. Argentina, given their recent history in this tournament, given their recent history in big tournaments, have just failed to deliver. They've gotten as far as finals, four of the last five in Copa America, and then 2014, also on Brazilian soil. Yet still, with all the pieces in place, with the star player coming out of their dressing room, they've somehow managed to fall just short. For Brazil, my concern with them is, as skeptical as I've been about Neymar and the role that he plays in this Brazilian national team, this outsized role, I think this is a Brazil team with more than enough talent to go deep in the tournament. But I just feel, especially on home soil, with the pressure and with the excuse of not having their star player, again, I think they're their own undoing.
I can tell you, though, that in looking both Brazil and Argentina, these are not the best versions of either one of these teams. These are not the players that we have come to appreciate and in some ways pay our respects to from this national teams. It is an 11 for Argentina and 11 for Brazil that has holes in them. So they're not dominant. And because they're not dominant, everybody else just kind of catches up a little bit. The problem is that the group that is trying to catch up, they have their issues themselves. So there isn't a team coming from the pack that you say, well, this is the team that is going to jump ahead of Argentina and Brazil. You cannot make that argument for Chile. I just mentioned, it's a team that is getting older. The same thing with Uruguay. There are things about Uruguay that you like, but then there are other things that you just go, I'm not so sure, because I don't know that Luis Suarez is going to give you everything that he's given you in the past. And up and down the line, you just see that this is a tournament in which it's open for somebody to get hot. Somebody gets hot in a short tournament, you give yourself an opportunity.
The thoughts then of the crew down at ESPN. What about your thoughts, Monty?
I think the favorites for the Copa America, the 46th edition of the Copa America, would be Brazil. They're the host nation. We've seen Argentina choke in this event in the last 2 years. They've lost out to Chile, who are the defending champions. I also see Uruguay, who have lifted the Copa America the most number of times, as will be there with Brazil and Argentina to lift the Copa America. And we really hope that one cup that has eluded Leo Messi all his life is the big cup, either the World Cup or the Copa America. So hoping for Leo Messi's sake, he lifts the Copa America this time, because he deserves it with such a wonderful career that he's already had.
Brazil open up their contract with a 3-0 win over Bolivia. That sounds straightforward. However, the fans booed them pretty much throughout the entire thing. Why?
I think the performance, the first half performance, wasn't that great. I just followed the scoreline. It was in the early morning in Dubai at 4:30 a.m. They scored their first goal in the second half through Philippe Coutinho, a penalty. And I think Brazil just need to step up. Most probably they're missing Neymar.
Well, Venezuela against Peru is later on this evening. That one's at 11 o'clock. And then you'll have to stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning to watch Argentina against Colombia. Argentina against Colombia, no love lost between those two teams. One that sort of gets your blood running?
Well, how about Japan when we're talking about the Copa America? Kind of interesting, these two invited teams that get to head down south to Brazil here, but it's hard to go against two-time defending champions Chile. They've been there, they've done that, they know what they're doing, but can Lionel Messi get it done? I mean, this would be, you have to think maybe this one, he's already retired from international football, then unretired, then came back. I think he's feeling the pressure. The pressure's certainly on him to get something done. It'd be good if he could.
Yeah, I mean, Argentina, they've restructured. They've got a few good players in there. There's one player who misses out this Copa America, is Gonzalo Higuain. He has always been the bad luck for Leo Messi for whatever reason. And Aguero, Angel Di Maria, Leo Messi, and Lautaro from Inter Milan, I think they'll form a formidable partnership this Copa America.
Copa America underway. Lots of interest in on this one. Transfer market as well. Plenty of interest there. We've seen Eden Hazard, with the worst-kept secret in international football, make his way over to Real Madrid. One of the other ones that we didn't really see coming was, of course, Maurizio Sarri. Now, this is not a done deal as yet, is it? But
It's as good as a done deal. I think the other day I read somewhere that Chelsea have paved the way for Maurizio Sarri to leave, and maybe Frank Lampard coming in as Chelsea manager.
Lamps? Chelsea? Really?
Strange one, because, I mean, the traditional method that Abramovich has employed is that he goes through managers pretty quickly, and he tends to take quite old, experienced managers as a general rule. And Lampard's a young manager. He's had a first season, you know, cutting his teeth at Derby County. Had a pretty good year with Derby County, not quite getting it done in the end, but getting into the playoffs. And he's got another year of contracted left. So the talk is in the papers that Sarri or Chelsea have demanded like £5 million of compensation for Sarri. And Derby saying, well, if you want Frank Lampard, you're going to have to pay us four of that to get him out of contract. So maybe he's the move. The thing about Lampard, which could be interesting, is that if they have this transfer ban upheld and they can't sign any players, the rumour is that his sort of dressing room presence, working with some of the younger players in the Chelsea setup, will work quite well. It might be a system. I think Jody Morris has been quite successful working with the youth team, working with Lampard now in Derby. So that there's a connection there to the club. It may be something that works, but it's not really the Chelsea way. But let's wait and see. Maybe he's another year needs in the division, really, in the championship.
Is only 40?
How about chain smoking sorry in the locker room with health freak Ronaldo drinking his green morning shake, doing his 12,000th sit-up of the day by the crack of noon, and sorry's on his 14th Marlboro Red. How are these two going to get along in this locker room? This will be a unique experience to see these two in the Juventus changing room. That's my biggest thing I'm looking forward to out of Italian football next year.
Keep an eye on these stories and more. Right, what are we? Going to get into the final 25 minutes of the show. Your last half an hour of the show and last chance for you to win that opportunity to get on the plane to Manchester to go to the ICC Cricket World Cup. How do you do that? I'll tell you after this.
You're listening to The Grill, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
As far as Indians go and the Pakistanis go, I don't think they watch this game as a game of cricket. They want to get one up on each other, so it's more of a border rivalry.
And 100, and he leaps in the air with delight. Another 100 for Virat Kohli. He raises his arms and looks to the skies.
Carved over the top, could be out though, and it is. Down on the deep cover boundary. And how Pakistan can celebrate now.
It's another 100 for Rohit Sharma. One of the all-time greats in 50 over cricket.
Kumar turns the top of his run. And he's bowled him!
A huge cheer goes up for Fakhar. What an effort that is. Terrific. What an innings.
Jasprit Bumrah. Faulkner on strike. And he's bowled. That's a terrific delivery. Went straight through him.
So the bigger bill for LBW. Looks good. He's good. And listen to the Pakistan supporters.
That's gone off India. Sarfraz takes the catch. It's all over. Pakistan win. Over the line. Massive win. Red scenes.
So that's something to whet the appetite ahead of tomorrow. Yeah, I know we've got two games on at the moment. The good news is that both of those games are on. Just keeping an eye on one of the screens down here at Kickers, where we're broadcasting from. Looks like play is back underway over in Cardiff. So we'll keep an eye on that one for you. And we're just waiting for the Sri Lankan batsmen to make their way out down at the Oval. So two games underway at the moment. One game, though, to look forward to tomorrow. A game that needs little introduction.
Yes, India versus Pakistan. One of the biggest sporting derbies in the world of sports. It's compared to El Clasico, Real Madrid versus Barcelona, India versus Pakistan, Brazil versus Argentina. What can I say? 1 billion people apparently are going to be tuned into the television sets tomorrow. And let's hope that we have a full game on tomorrow. I mean, what can I say? The tickets probably would have been sold out 6-7 months ago for this one of the biggest games in the world of cricket.
Massive game. And let's just hope the weather comes to the party.
Yeah, it hasn't been great weather in the first 3 weeks of the Cricket World Cup, so let's hope. It's such a massive occasion. Old Trafford, Manchester is going to be a sea of colour, a sea of noise. It's going to be absolutely massive there. And one man that's played a few of these matches before, esteemed commentator now, Ramiz Raja. This is what he had to say about this fixture.
It's a chance for you to become a hero because your performances against India or lack of performances will always be remembered by the fans. So it could be a quick exit for you career-wise, or it could be a lengthy period for you if you do well against India. It's about shining on the day. It's about how you absorb pressure. And I remember featuring in a couple of matches where we felt that there was difficult for us to win. That Javed Miada's last ball, 6 in 1986, was a terrific game against India. And so we beat them. We were losing that game from 9 in the morning till 5 p.m. And then a few matches in Nehru Cup also, which was 1988. We beat them in front of a packed audience at Calcutta. It's a special occasion. I think something to savor, something to rejoice, and something to look forward to. Yeah, I mean, there's extra bit of pressure. And because of the political needle, it becomes that much more critical for you to score runs or take wickets. And the fans ask you not to fail against India. But you just got to enjoy the atmosphere because you're guaranteed a packed house. And nothing can be better than that for you because you want that stage, if you're an international cricketer, to perform. And you'll always get that again when you're playing in an India game.
So who will be the key players? This is what I find fascinating about these two teams at the moment, is that, you know, they come into the tournament and you sort of think you know who the two team, the players to look out for. And yet it's almost like, thanks to the IPL and thanks to other tournaments around the world, other key players have come to the fore. Whenever I think of India, I always think, of the likes of Dhawan, I think the likes of obviously Virat Kohli, MS Dhoni. And yet, talk to a lot of Indian fans at the moment, talk to a lot of the Indian players, and their go-to man for this tournament is Hardik Pandya.
Yeah, he was my X-factor even before the World Cup, and I've spoken on air that he would be India's X-factor because he plays fearless cricket. He's a batsman where, you know, it doesn't matter what the situation is, he could turn the game around within 10 minutes of his if he plays 20 balls, and I think Hardik Pandya brings that dynamism in the team for India, and we saw what a great IPL he had for Mumbai Indians. The man is just so confident and fearless. Yeah.
And Monty, look, you're a very proud Indian supporter. You've got your Indian cricket top on there. You were back in Mumbai a week or so ago. Beyond cricket, what social sort of ramifications does this match have? What does it mean to win and lose this match versus Pakistan?
Well, what can I say? I mean, it's between the players, they have high respect and regards for each other. It's just what has happened over the past few years. You know, it's just the politics, political part of the of between the two countries. But end of the day, it's sport. Sport has to be the winner, and one has to win, one has to lose. You know. A lot of people would be glued in tomorrow and supporting the green of Pakistan, the blue of India. But end of the day, it's sport. One has to win, one has to lose.
It's going to be a nightmare trying to get a cab, that's for sure. About 1:30 tomorrow afternoon, it's going to be impossible, given the fact that all my conversations I've had in cab, well, pretty much since I moved here 20 years ago, have been about cricket anyway. So tomorrow, forget it.
A lot of offices won't have 100% staff in there. I can tell you that now in Mumbai. Shops will be closed. There'll be the rickshaws and the taxis won't be there anymore. Everyone will be just glued to the television set.
And
tomorrow,
what does everyone do? It's a Sunday afternoon. Does everyone sort of pile around to your friend's place? Do you go to sort of the public houses? Where does everyone in India going to be watching this match?
I can tell you that, you know, some of the shops in India, they you know, the TV, television shops, they would be displaying the game outside. There would be probably 500 people outside the shop watching the game of cricket. That's how it is.
Talking about some of the key players in what will be a key game at the ICC Cricket World Cup 2019. It's India against Pakistan tomorrow. It's up at Manchester, 1:30 start. Hardik Pandya, one of the star men for India, and this is why.
India means everything to me. This is my life. I'm someone who plays the game with love, passion, and loves challenges. In 2.5 years, I've been preparing for this, so time has come. I'm a happy soul, you know, I like to be happy. And no matter what happens in my life, I like to take it as positive and end up finding something positive about it. Me and my brother were talking, and he just mentioned we as brothers are always happy about everything, you know, because for us, from where we have come, everything is a bonus. Days back, my friend sent me a picture and he was like, "You remember this night?" I was like, "Yeah, I sure do." He clicked a picture of us celebrating after India winning the World Cup in 2011, and we were on the street because it was a festival, and I never seen so many people out in one night. It actually made me emotional. It actually made me so happy that, you know, 8 years down the line, playing the World Cup in 2019, it's been a dream. And my teammates are my brothers.
He always very chill, enjoying his game. He doesn't take pressure on himself, so he's kind of rock star, I would say.
Three consecutive sixes, brings up his 15, good time.
He is a truly game changer for us.
Chance of a run out, caught at the same end.
I'm someone who's very passionate about the game.
Pushed into the offside from Jadeja and just doesn't go.
I don't think I'll do that now. It was just emotion. And actually, to be honest, when you are in that situation, nothing goes in your mind. That time it was just anger because I was in a zone and everything was happening. I went into the dressing room. I started throwing things. I went to Jadu. I went and said, "I'm extremely sorry. It was not intentional, no matter what happened. I'm not that guy." On 14 July, I want to have a cup in my hand. That's the only thing which is important for me. Even when I think of it, you know, it just gives me goosebumps. My plan is simple, win the World Cup, and I am hoping that, and I expect that from myself as well. No pressure, because only maybe 1.5 million people are, you know, expecting that, so no pressure at all.
Hardik Pandya, one of the go-to men for India, he's going to be key to, well, India's progress throughout this tournament.
Throughout the tournament, yes, of course. His contribution in the last game against Australia too was, I think he came and scored 48 of 24 balls. And I think you will be getting innings like that when Pandya comes in the 45th over and changes the game for India.
Yeah. What I love about this tournament, and I suppose it's not just about this tournament, Mark Archer, but others, is how you get certain sort of themes running through it, don't you? So I noticed yesterday Joe Root with his rather inspired little spell against the West Indies, and he started doing the old Ian Botham celebration, you know, the 1-2-1-2, that. And who's the? Is it Cottrell, the West Indies quick, who does the salute?
I think it is. Yes.
Yeah, it's Cottrell who does the salute. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think he represents the defense sector.
He's
in
an
the
army,
West
isn't
Indies.
He?
Yeah, he's in the army, and in order to just pay his respect to the army. He salutes them on the pitch whenever he gets a wicket.
I guess the teams are together for the best part of sort of 2 to 3 months, so they obviously got to amuse themselves at time to time. In the dressing room, they come up with different celebrations or different sort of idiosyncratic sort of movements and gestures and celebrations. So I guess it's part of the whole sort of team, you know, just a bunch of blokes spending a lot of time together.
Well, the other one that I love as well that's doing the rounds at the moment is one of the go-to men, key men for Pakistan in this tournament, at the top of the order at least, that is. The man with the moustache, you can't miss him, can you, out there in the field, Mohammed Hafeez. And he started a bit of a trend with the old turning of the moustache.
Yeah, and I think what he said, that he did it to bring some kind of good luck to him, and it's working out perfectly for him. He's going to keep it until the end of the World Cup, and I don't know how far Pakistan progresses, but good on him. Yeah,
Mohammed the moustache Hafeez, let's hear about why, the history behind the tash.
It's a mixture between Charlie Chaplin and Groucho Marx, I think, but he loves it, and every day we measure the length of it. Very fashion conscious is our man Hafeez.
All the teammates really praised it by the time I was growing it, and then obviously some of the fans really liked it, so I just thought, why not? That given me a little bit more confidence.
Ultra professional man.
Mr. Professor.
Sassy.
I think everyone knows him as a professor.
When Mohammed Hafeez is playing well, he brings a real balance to the Pakistan cricket team, which is great.
He's so fluent. Whenever he scores runs, he's so fluent. He just, you know, times the ball so beautifully that, you know, it just races to the boundary so well.
He thinks very positively. Whenever he's going inside, you know, he plays attacking cricket and he bats himself, so whenever he's going to bat, he plays positive cricket all the time.
I think the Kuwaiti batsman plays well off front and back foot, has scoring options, to both those balls. We were having a talk about his bowling the other day, and very interestingly he said, I'm still a wicket taker. And that sort of confirmed something to me, that he still had a great belief in his bowling, which was fantastic to hear.
I always take myself as a proper bowler. When I go in the field, I feel like, you know, I'm there for the bowling also. So I feel myself as a main attacking option rather than going towards in my mind as a non-regular bowler.
Whenever he scored runs and he takes 2-3 wickets for completion, the Pakistan team is very good. So it's good for us. He's bowling well and also batting well as well.
He really supports us, and especially me and all the juniors, and he really guides us, and he's always the one who always wants to lead and who always wants to, you know, give his input, and that's what I like about him.
I feel so good when I do something where I can contribute to win the game. So I'm always in my thoughts, it's always been a case where I think, like, you know, if my contribution is towards the victory, I'm the most satisfied person. It's not about scoring milestones, it's not about scoring, taking 5 wickets, it's about contributing at the right time and handling the situation well.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Kickers Sports Bar, where the game is always on.
Indeed we are, and we will be each and every Saturday between the hours of 3 and 6, so please do join us down here for some wonderful food and beverage offers and plenty of live sport. Let's get back to that live sport for you now, as we have two games of cricket ongoing at the moment. An absolute pleasure, what with the weather we had and the problems there in the past. Let's get the latest from the Oval first, from you, Monty.
Australia have posted a mammoth total of 334 for 7, and in reply, Sri Lanka have started brilliantly, 26 without a wicket. After 2.4 overs, positive cricket from the Sri Lankans. They're going for the target, looks like.
I'd like to give it a go, you know, why not?
These days 334 is chaseable.
Do you know what? Sri Lanka got nothing to lose as well at the moment, have they?
No, they don't have, and even Sri Lanka, they won the top four spot. They've been lucky with one of the games being washed out, so they have an advantage with that 1 point. If they win today, I think they enter the top four, Sri Lanka.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on that game, as we will the other. Talking of nothing to lose, South Africa.
Well, it's the bottom of the table clash between Afghanistan and South Africa in Cardiff. Afghanistan yet to register a point in the Cricket World Cup. South Africa, after four matches, only 1 point from a washed out a game there and three defeats. Afghanistan are batting first. Sri Lanka, South Africa won the toss, put them into bat, and Afghanistan 45 for one after 12.5 of their 50 overs. So 45 for one. It's a solid start by Afghanistan. There is some inclement weather in Cardiff. They've left the field once. They've now come back onto the pitch. Play is back underway. So 45 for one after 12 of their 50 overs.
Plenty to look forward to stateside as well a little later on. US Open, in terms of the sort of timings, what sort of time can we expect?
Probably around 9 o'clock the first people will get off, because it's West Coast time. So I think if you tune in around 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock tonight, you can see some live golf out there from California. It'll be day three. I think 69 players made the cut. So the cut was at plus two. Tiger did not have a good day. He's charging it. I think he's at even par, so he's 9 strokes behind the leader.
Thank you very much indeed to you. Roscoe, apologies first and foremost. I know cricket isn't your first love, but hopefully by July the 16th it will be.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping we can get myself out there. Not July the 16th, it's July the 6th, Tom, isn't it?
July the 6th is for our trip, yeah. Okay. July the 16th is the final. So hopefully by the end of this tournament you will be an aficionado.
Well, if we get some tickets up there, I'm there. Why not?
Talking of those tickets, congratulations. We were looking for the identity of this voice.
This is what I've been telling Alan, that I want my team to play today like a cornered tiger, you know, when it's at its most dangerous.
Congratulations to all those that got those right. What was the answer we're looking for, Mark Archer?
Imran Khan.
The great Imran Khan. Yeah. They won it in...
1992.
92, was it?
92 at the MCG. They beat your beloved England, Tom. Hammered them.
Yeah, I think we've been on the receiving end of quite a few hammers in Cricket World Cups.
Three World Cup finals.
Okay, boys, thanks for that. Yeah, cheers for that. We made the final a couple of times, which is, I suppose, something to look forward to. Would it be the same again this year? Well done to all those that got it right. All those names went into a hat. One came out, and it is one man who works at BP, Mohammed Hussain, who is going into the next draw. So stay tuned. We'll make sure that we get in touch with you and get more details. So 4001. And stay tuned to Off Script and Dubai I-103.8 to find out more throughout the course of the coming days when it comes to your opportunity to get onto this extraordinary trip, courtesy of Dubai I-103.8 FM, Off Script, The Grill, and all the team down here at Kickers. Just remains for me to say a big thank you to all the team. Monty, thanks very much
indeed
to you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thanks for being part of it. Thanks to you, Roscoe, as well.
Always a pleasure, buddy.
And to you, Mark Archer.
Thank you, Thomas. Quick rugby update as well. It's the match down in Cape Town. Stormers taking on the Sharks. Just after half-time, the Sharks lead the Stormers 5 points to three. Low-scoring game there.
Going to play out with a little bit of cricket history as well, because all those names that are getting involved in this wonderful competition will be going down to see South Africa against Australia. There's one game that stands out in the memory banks when it comes to Cricket World Cups between these two teams, is there not?
Yes, I was
memories
there.
Memories of 99?
You were there, were you? 99. I was there. Alan Donald was my client at the time. I was supposed to meet him for dinner. That didn't happen after that match, Tom, I can tell you that.
The catch that dropped the World Cup.
A truly extraordinary last over. In fact, a truly extraordinary last eight balls or so, wasn't
it? Great match, because it was one of those low-scoring matches. I think South Africa batted first, scored around 230. It was a topsy-turvy match. It sort of swung. And for all money, Lance Klusener hit the first two balls of the last over for four. I think they needed... another run to win, and then it all turned went pear-shaped.
Shall we just remind ourselves of that one? Hopefully White Lightning is not listening into this one, because it won't sit pretty with him. Extraordinary end to an extraordinary game, and who knows, you could be part of another encounter like this in Manchester. Stay tuned to Dubai Eye throughout the rest of the week for your chance to win. Thank you and good night.
Come in the semis against South Africa.
An indication straight through the hands and over the ropes for six.
Last ball of the penultimate over. Klusner will be looking for a single and he gets it. .205/9 needed off the last over. A place in the World Cup final. Last over, 9 to win, Fleming to Klusner. That's a tremendous stroke for four. What power! What a player, what a World Cup he's having. 27 from 13 balls.
Oh, what an amazing cover drive this is. It's unbelievable this man bats at number 8. Shows the depth of this South African side. Fleming's overpitched. Tried to get it in the block hole. And it wasn't a bad delivery. It was actually very full. And that's a tremendous shot. Dug out. Beating Tom Moody at deep cover. It was right in the block hole. The power of the man is awesome.
Tremendous blow again, and that's four more! What a stroke from Klusner. What can you say about him? Romov had no chance.
Australians in the crowd are speechless. They've got nothing to say. It's right up there. Probably a bit more of a half volley than the last ball, but he's crashed that one, this time to Middle's right hand.
One to win then. Not off that ball. Nearly run out. Darren Lehman with the throw. Donald was backing up too far, looking for the single. What a finish.
Well, Alan Donald might smile now, but what was he doing? He got four balls to get one run. He's just backed up too far, and Lehman has missed from no more than 6 yards away. Donald's not in the picture. That could have all been over. Australia could have been in the final.
They go for it! And Donald's run out, and Australia are in the final. The match has been tied. What a mix-up! Well, the Australian players, they probably can't even believe their own good fortune. South Africa lost their nerve when it really mattered.
Well, you can understand that off the last ball of the match, but not with two balls still remaining. They've gone for a suicide single. And the Australians are through. The South Africans cannot believe it. Australians in the crowd, overjoyed. And here it is, right up in the block hole. Klusner dug it out. He called quickly. I think Donald was right. There wasn't a single there. He drops his bat. And he has to go in the end. Gilchrist removes the bails. And Australia are in the World Cup final yet again.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.